Today's scripture reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Jesus said to his disciples, "During this very night, all of you will reject me, as the scriptures say. I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised to life, I will go to Galilee ahead of you." Peter spoke up, "Even if all the others reject you, I never will." And Jesus replied, "I promise you that before a rooster crows tonight, you will say three times that you don't know me." But Peter said, "Even if I have to die with you, I'll never say I don't know you." And all the others said the same thing. Later, while Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, a servant girl came up to him and said, "You are with Jesus from Galilee." But in front of everyone, Peter said, "That isn't so. I don't know what you're talking about." When Peter had gone out to the gate, another servant girl saw him and said to some people there, "This man was with Jesus from Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, and this time he swore, "I don't even know that man." A little while later, some people standing there walked over to Peter and said, "We know that you are one of them. We can tell it because you talk like someone from Galilee." And Peter began to curse and swear, "I don't know what that man," and right then, a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered that Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows, you'll say three times that you don't know me." And then Peter went out and cried hard. Peter, the poster child for what a disciple should be. He's mentioned in the gospel more than any other disciple, and he really should be. The guy was on fire. He had passion. He gave it all. He was the first one to recognize Jesus as Messiah. He was always the first to volunteer, "I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it." He was the first one to answer Jesus' questions, "Ooh, ooh, ooh, pick me, pick me." He was the first to profess his faith in Jesus and give his life to him. Zealous, on fire, a great Jesus follower, and it got him in trouble. He almost drowned when he jumped out of the boat to go meet Jesus as Jesus was walking on the water. And then after the Last Supper, the disciples and Jesus all went out to the Mount of Olives on the way to Gethsemane, and Jesus revealed that one would deny him. And there's Peter, "Not me. Not gonna be me. If everyone in the whole entire universe and the history of the entire universe would turn their back on you, there I'm still here. I am your man, Jesus." And Jesus says, "Oh yeah? Not only are you gonna deny me, Peter, you're gonna deny me three times." It doesn't give us then what Peter thought or said after that. But Peter, the Peter we know from the Bible, my guess is internally he said, "We'll see about that. I'll show you. There's no way I'm going to deny him." And then Jesus is arrested and taken to the court to be tried. Then the disciples all scatter, all except for John and Peter. John and Peter follow Jesus to the court. They're going to see what's going to happen to their rabbi. Now, to their credit, that was a very brave thing to do. Remember, they're in Jerusalem, and it was just a couple days earlier. Jesus had his triumphal entrance into Jerusalem. It was a big party. All the people were saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, here's our king." And Peter probably was front and center going, "Out of my way, out of my way, make way for the Lord." Because that's Peter. So to his credit, it was very brave of Peter and John to go to Jerusalem. Because things had gone south really, really quickly. All the other disciples had recognized that they had all scattered. But Peter kept his word, at least for a minute. "Even if everyone else leaves you, Jesus, I'll be there." So he tried. But then it all became too much. Seeing Jesus beaten, the crowds being whipped into a frenzy. "Crucify him, crucify him." The fear bubbling up inside of Peter until the third, "I don't know him," and the rooster crowed. How could he? How could he? He was there. He knew Jesus. He was one of Jesus's followers. How could he? for my birthday a couple of years ago. Jesus. Keith. And I do know the difference. So glad he's not here this morning. Keith took me to the Art Institute in Chicago. It's one of our favorite places to go. And we were walking through the galleries, and we went through the galleries of the classic paintings. Yeah, you know, like the Rembrandt stuff. Not my cup of tea. I'm a Monet kind of gal. So we're working through the galleries, and Keith kind of lingers behind. He's looking at a painting that's as big as probably one of these sections of the wall, and it's called The Denial of St. Peter. But I go ahead, because I've got to get to the Monets. And he calls me back. He said, Nance, come look at this. And this is the painting. It's kind of hard to see. You'll get the gist of it. This is The Denial of St. Peter. Now, the old man up there, that's Peter. The guy who's on his hands, that's one of the soldiers. In reality, that guy that's on his hands probably is what Peter looked like. Peter would have been about Jesus' age, probably not an old man, but you get the gist of it. And so I look at this painting, and I go, yeah, that's nice. I know the story. I got to go get to the Monets. And Keith touches me and he goes, no, look. And he points to that top corner. And that is Jesus being led away. And there's a figure staring right at me. And Keith and I stood there in the art museum staring at this painting, The Denial of St. Peter, and we wept. Remember when The Passion of the Christ came out? It was so interesting to me as I watched the people in the audience. Different people would weep at different parts of it, depending on what it touched. And I remember as I was reading it, I thought, man, there's something fundamentally wrong with me, because while this is touching me, it's not getting me on my, was it visceral level? And then Peter denied Jesus, and I wept bitterly. Because I, like all of us, know we are continuing to deny Jesus. How could I? He's here. I'm one of his followers. How could I? Here in the United States, we have such cheap grace. It is so easy to be a Christian. It is so easy to be a Christ follower that we're not really very good at it. We get so much of the warm, fuzzy, Jesus loves us gospel that we don't, or at least I know very few people who have, truly make him Lord of our lives. The experience of Peter teaches us that we all deny Jesus too. First of all, we deny Jesus by our words. Matt Rausch in the USA Today writes, "The tongue has the power and life of life and death." And that may seem extreme. How can words kill anyone? You all remember Karen Carpenter? You probably don't all remember. Some of you remember Karen. Okay, I got your ages now. Karen Carpenter was a singer who, at a very young age, died of complications because she was really, really, really anorexic. And her anorexia started with a reviewer who called her chubby. And it killed her. His words killed her. That little word was all it took to start her on that tragic journey towards anorexia and death. Little words that we say to people can affect them to the point of maybe not killing them, but certainly killing a piece of their soul. Our words build up, but our words can also tear down. And fasten your seatbelt, folks. No more so than in church. We're grumbling, our nitpicking, our griping. We come to church on Sunday morning to worship. Worship, meaning pour ourselves out to God. Lift Jesus' name in adoration and praise. Who's it about? Jesus. And yet when we leave with words of what we did or what we didn't get out of the sermon. And don't get me wrong, we're supposed to get something out of worship too. Absolutely. But by complaining about church, its programs, the studies, its pastors, its staff, its way of doing things, its comfort level, the other folks who go there, by using our words against the church, we are using our words against Jesus. And we're denying him. We either profess our faith in Jesus by what we say, or we deny him. And then we deny Jesus by our walk. Not only are we called to practice what we preach, we have to practice what we hear and learn about following Jesus. It's not only how we act when we're here on Sunday morning. If we're one kind of Christian on Sunday morning, and another kind Monday through Saturday, and we're not fooling ourselves or others about what our faith really is. And when our lives do not express the faith we profess, then we deny Jesus in our walk. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good work, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works." And that's why we as United Methodists emphasize acts of mercy at the heart of our discipleship. We're called to put into faith, called to put our faith into practice. James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word, and so you deceive yourselves, but do what the word says to do." So the product of our faith should be to meet the needs of others. In doing so, we're helping to build the kingdom of God, one act of mercy at a time and one life at a time. And then we deny Jesus in our witness. We're called to make disciples by sharing the good news of what Christ has done on the cross and is doing in our lives. It was his last commandment to us. I guess he must have felt it was kind of important. It's the last thing he told us to do. Go out and tell other people about me. There was a man named John Currier who was found guilty of murder and sentenced to life in prison. Later, he was transferred and paroled to work on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee. Life was hard, 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 hard labor on that farm. And there was no hope. But in 1968, John Currier's sentence was commuted, and the court sent him a letter informing him that he was no longer sentenced to hard labor. But one problem, he never got that letter. And so for 10 years, John Currier kept doing the same work, day after day after backbreaking day, knowing that this would be what he would be doing until he died. And then one day, by happenstance, a parole officer discovered John Currier's plight, and he told him that his sentence had been commuted and he was a free man. Would it matter to you if you got the most important news of your life, someone sent you a message, the most important message of your life, and you never received it? We, like the parole officer, who have heard the good news and experienced freedom through Christ, have you heard the good news? Have you experienced freedom through Christ? Then you are responsible to proclaim it to the others who don't know it, but yet sharing our faith is our greatest fear. But when we fail to do it, we deny Jesus. In our words, our works, our witness, we deny Jesus. And it's not usually great overt acts of our lives that mark defiance or denial, but smaller, more subtle, and sometimes unintentional acts. A good deed gone undone. A word of witness withheld. A word that tears down rather than builds up. It's those small things that can do great damage. When the Titanic sank, it was widely suggested that the iceberg had just gashed the side of the hull of that mighty, unsinkable ship. But when they finally found it and inspected it, they found 6 narrow slits cut across the watertight holds, small in comparison to the size of that vessel, and yet it caused great damage. It's often the small, more subtle words or acts that can cause great damage. We were coming to church one day. I've shared this before. It was about this time last year, coming to church one day and came down Main Street for some reason. Sarah noticed a homeless man sleeping in the vestibule of the Midwest Museum of Art. And because it was softball season, we had blankets in the back of our car. And Sarah said to me, "Let's give him a blanket." I said, "No, we're late for church." And when I went by him, I've got a colleague of mine. It's actually my thing for Lent. I've been doing pretty good, but certainly have not been perfect. I've got a colleague that I grouse about all the time. If I'm frustrated because things aren't working, most folks know it. I'm getting better at that. But I get snappy and make other people feel the pressure that I'm feeling. I put my frustrations on how things are going on other people. And I deny him. I deny him. I deny him. Cock-a-doodle-doo. When we miss those opportunities, when the words come out of our mouths like vinegar, when our actions are less than Christ-like, when the door is flung open wide to tell someone, "Let me tell you about Jesus," and we don't, our whole self sinks. We weep bitter tears, maybe only on the inside, but we weep them because we know, we know, we know that we've just denied our Lord. But there's hope. Peter gives us some insight on how to avoid this. 1, fasten your seatbelts. Let Jesus be Jesus. Jesus told the disciples of his pending sacrificial death, and Peter said, "Oh no, 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 no. You're not going to do that. I got a different plan." And Jesus' response was, "Get thee behind me, Satan." During the transfiguration, Christ presented himself as Messiah to go to the people. And Peter said, "No, no, 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 no. Better plan. Let's build 3 tents here for you, Elijah, and Moses. And then the people can come to you." The Last Supper, Jesus said, "Let me wash your feet as an act of servanthood." Peter goes, "No, no. Nope, different plan. You're going to wash all of me. All of me, Lord, pour it on." If you're striving to let Jesus be Lord of your life, if you focus on his word to you through his Holy Spirit being the last and final and authoritative word, then there's less chance your own agenda is going to step in the way. If Peter had let Jesus be Jesus that day, if Peter had trusted the scenario to play out the way Jesus said it would, he told him what was going to happen, then Peter wouldn't have had any reason to deny Jesus, even if it meant Peter's own death, because Peter would have trusted the promise of life after death. 2, pray. You guys have heard me say this before. Jesus was a person of action when he was here on the world. We don't recall ever, ever him seeing a need and saying to his disciples, okay, guys, circle up. He went and did. But in Gethsemane, shortly before Peter's denial, Jesus had asked Peter and the others to stay awake with him while he prayed. But it was a heavy meal, a little bread, a little wine. They drifted off. But had Peter stayed awake, if Peter had heard Jesus' prayer, Peter would have been more prepared for what was about to come. The Holy Spirit within us, the voice that tells us what to discern, the voice in which we receive the trust and assurance we need to pray to be in communication with the Holy Spirit, in contact with that voice of God residing within us. That'll prepare us for those times we're going to choose to deny Christ rather than being Christ-like. Remember your failures, but don't dwell on them. But remember them. Learn from them. You cry enough bitter tears, you'll get to the point where you avoid situations that are going to make you cry bitter tears. Ask for forgiveness when you fail and accept that forgiveness and stay the course. Peter denied Christ 3 times. All the pictures depict it. The scripture suggests it. There's a chance Jesus overheard that. But Peter knew what he did. Peter, if he's like many of us, may have thought to himself, well, that's it. There's a bridge I've burned. I'm finished. I've denied Jesus. There's no way that he's going to allow me to be in relationship with him anymore. I've betrayed him. And if Peter had thought that way, then a few days later, when Jesus shows up on the beach, cooking fish for breakfast, Peter would have never seen him, never recognized him, never would have gone gleefully to come and see the risen Lord. But Peter did. He went to the beach, went to the risen Lord, stayed the course, remained a Christ follower, and there, Jesus once again asked him 3 times. Different question. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter's answer was, Lord, I love you. And then on Peter, the church was built. The new covenant people were sent out to build the kingdom. Grace was poured out. Forgiveness was given for Peter and for you.